As his mother set the bowl of ice cream down in front of him, the young child's mouth formed into a grin, and his eyes grew wide in delight. With seeming reckless abandon and clearly no concern whatsoever for the coming clothing carnage, using fingers somehow already sticky, he took a spoon and began eating the ice cream. After a few mouthfuls far too large for him to really fit in his mouth, the boy squealed with delight when he saw a maraschino cherry on the far side of the mound of cold, creamy sweetness. Joy, pure joy, filled his being. The older person walked slowly with their cane to their seat in the front row of the balcony. As the orchestra quieted its cacophony of tuning and warming up, their body relaxed into their seat. They closed their eyes and felt the impact of the music wash through them. Joy, pure joy, filled their being. Smelling of sunscreen and bug spray, weighed down by brimming beach bags, the young women found the perfect spot on the beach. They set up their umbrellas and beach chairs just so, slipped off their sandals and slid their toes into the soft, wet sand, just as a tiny wave of ocean water bubbled over their feet. Joy, pure joy, filled their beings. You've had your own experiences of having your whole being filled with joy, I hope. It may have been while eating ice cream like my 2-year-old, going to a concert, going to the beach, or maybe it was getting a tattoo, or digging into your garden, or meeting your children or grandchildren for the first time. Whatever the particulars, all of the deepest joys in life somehow seem to affect our whole selves. Or maybe it's that pure joy helps us transcend the things, get past the things that keep us from experiencing each moment with our whole selves. Being fully present to our whole beings, or really experiencing something with all of the parts that make up who we are, seems to be a critical part of deep joy. People who suffer with depression have described it not just as something that makes them feel sad, but as something that keeps them from feeling anything else on the spectrum of human emotion. Just as the opposite of love is not hate, but apathy, it seems that the opposite of happiness might not be sadness or depression themselves, but not being able to experience the fullness of human feeling. I've been reading and researching for this sermon for quite some time, but just the other week I heard Doug Abrams on KQED share something that I think really gets to the heart of the nature of joy. Abrams moderated a set of conversations between the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu on the occasion of the Dalai Lama's 80th birthday. And then Abrams documented those conversations in a book called The Book of Joy, Lasting Happiness in a Changing World. And in one of these conversations, Anglican Archbishop Tutu, a leader in the fight against apartheid in South Africa, asked the Dalai Lama if he lives with deep sadness because of his exile from Tibet. But the Dalai Lama replied, after a moment of thinking, "I have preferred the 50 years in exile." Abrams explained he didn't think the Dalai Lama meant he enjoyed suffering or his people's oppression in Tibet, but that his exile has helped him get closer to the fullness of life. In other words, the Dalai Lama's exile has allowed him to get much closer to humanity, to the full spectrum of human experience that he wouldn't have gotten to in his gilded cage in Tibet. It is remarkable when someone who has been through such great suffering and tribulation manages to stay joyful. But how many times have you wondered if you're committed enough to the important things in life while having a little happiness in whatever form? Why must joy feel like an indulgence rather than a necessity? Toy Derricotte speaks to this so profoundly in her poem. In the midst of a life resisting America's heritage of racism and oppression, her friends and family don't seem to understand why her fish, who gave her joy, was important to her. They don't understand why she spent $100 a month to have the fish fed, the tank cleaned, while she was out of town. Derricotte writes, "There are doctors, great poets. There is fine furniture, clothes, children, true love, God for God's sake. There is everything to remember, everything to be worried and concerned about, as if I could find it if I just kept looking. Something really real out there, always just outside of what I could take in." When I read this poem for the first time, the first thought that came to my mind was, and yet she persisted. Why should her little life, her joy with her little fish, be any less real than all of the real problems and struggles in the world? Why should bad somehow be more real than good? Why should she have to be more present to the hard and the painful than to the simple goodness in the world? "This was how I stayed alive," she writes. This taking joy in this little fish, this being present to this little joy, this was how I stayed alive. I'm also reminded of something the Reverend Rebecca Parker once said while officiating the wedding of my friends and colleagues, the Reverend Wendy Bartell and Lynn Gardner. If I'm not mistaken, Wendy and Lynn got married right here at the UU Church of Berkeley. And during their ceremony, Rebecca told them that their wedding, their love, was an act of resistance against all of the homophobic and transphobic messages they had ever received, that they weren't worthy, that they didn't deserve joy and happiness because they weren't a heteronormative straight couple. Their very joy and love were a resistance against the forces of fear and evil that would have kept them from that joy. In a world with so much challenge and struggle, in a time when it feels like there is so much to resist, joy is not an indulgence. We need it. Joy is what helps us keep the channels of our hearts, minds, and spirits open. It's what helps us remember how to be fully present, not just to the pain, but to the goodness and the loveliness too. So whether you take up laughter yoga or eat more ice cream, whether you go to the beach or a heavy metal concert like I like to do, whether you find more time to dig in your garden, take up dancing, embroidery, basketball, as one of your ministers, I implore you, for the health of your whole self and for the sake of the love and goodness and justice we work and hope for, make room for joy. Okay?
Done.
Okay.
Done.